When I was a student at Louisville Seminary, I did an internship one summer as a hospital chaplain. And one morning I arrived at the hospital and found about 5 messages in my mailbox from a patient on my floor. He wanted to see me immediately. As I bounded up the steps, I was thinking, I must be one heck of a chaplain. This guy is obviously in deep spiritual crisis, and I'm the guy that he is asking for. So, in a very caring, pastoral manner, I approached his bed and leaned in and intoned, "How can I be helpful to you?" He said, "I had a dream last night." Uh-oh, I thought, he wants me to interpret his dream. He said, "In my dream, the number 6 kept coming up." I thought. Then he handed me a slip of paper, and he said, "This is the phone number of my bookie. I want you to call him and tell him I want to put $200 on number 6 in every race at Churchill Downs this afternoon." I said, "Well, I'm a chaplain. I don't think I should be calling your bookie for you." He said, "If I were a lawyer, would you call my office?" I said, "Well, yeah." He said, "If I was a doctor, would you call my office for me?" "Yes." "Well," he said, "I'm a professional horse player. This is how I make my living. I just need you to make a business call for me." Again, I told him I didn't think I should make the call for him. He said, "So you're not going to call my bookie for me?" "No," I said. He said, "Send up the capital chaplain." About 2 weeks later, he was checking out of the hospital, and I got a call that he wanted to see me. I went up, he introduced me to his family, and then he handed me $660. And I said, "What's this?" He said, "I got somebody to make that call for me, and I came out $6,600 ahead." He said, "I believe in tithing. Here is 10% of my winnings. Put it in the offering plate at your church on Sunday." That's an absolutely true story. So what is tithing? Tithing is returning to God a tenth of our resources. The word tithe is not a synonym for offering or gift or donation. The word tithe means tenth. A tenth of what? A tenth of everything we have. A tenth of what we make. A tenth of what we do. A tenth of all we have. Our abilities, our energies, money, time. Tithe means tenth of it all. And I find no indication in Scripture that a tithe means a tenth of the leftovers after other obligations have been met. A biblical tithe is the first tenth. What Scripture says about that tenth is that it belongs to God. Belongs to God. Does not belong to us. Never did belong to us. The command in Scripture is not to give it, but to return it. When Malachi the prophet addresses a nation of people who are not returning the tithe to God, his way of putting it is, you are robbing God. You are taking what is not yours and using it for your own purposes. Give it back. The tithe belongs not to us, never did. It belongs to the Lord our God. Now, someone may want to say, "Now, wait a minute here, hold on just a second. We shouldn't say that a tenth belongs to God, should we? Shouldn't we really say that it all belongs to God? And if it all belongs to God, and if our whole lives are to be lived in giving glory to God, why this strictness about a tenth? Isn't that legalistic?" Here's what your pastor thinks. Everything belongs to God. But we humans have a way of glorying in generalities of truth like that and remaining perfectly divorced from any specific evidence that we really do believe it. Any concrete application of what we profess to believe. So quite often in Scripture, God commands us to specific disciplines to unfold in us an actual practice of what we say we generally believe. For example, God knows that almost all of us are willing to say, we love humanity, it's just people we can't stand. So the Scripture never commands us, love humanity. The Scripture says, love your neighbor, your spouse, love your enemy, him, her, them. Generalities take on a different kind of flesh when I love specific people. In the same way, God knows we can work ourselves to tears, singing and preaching, everything we have, O Lord, is yours. So God, with wonderful specificity, says, then return a tenth. Let the practice of tithing provide a concrete way for you to take the words, God is Lord of my life, and put them into practice. In doing so, our commitment becomes tangible. Our giving becomes an outward sign of an inner spiritual commitment. Of course, some people perceive the tithe to be nothing more than a leftover from Old Testament law-based theology. They believe it to be an arbitrary, technical rule with little relevance for later periods. And yet Jesus commended the tithe, even among the Pharisees whom he criticized for making a show of their self-righteousness. The early church practice the tithe, and so have Christians in every generation since. Listen, the people we admire, the people we respect for their generosity and for their spiritual wisdom and for their deep-heartedness, have practiced giving in such an extravagant manner that it has reshaped them. God has used their long-term patterns of giving to form in them the spiritual qualities that cause them to be our mentors. They give extravagantly, according to their means, and most practice or exceed the tithe. The tithe remains a basic expectation of Christian discipleship. But if I, as a preacher, am true to the Spirit of Jesus, I must not place that discipline on you as a hard, cold legalism. I'm forbidden even to imply that if you are not tithing, you are a second-rate person or not a real Christian. Any preacher, by the way, who tells you that you have to do this and this and this or you're out, and hangs you over hell like a weenie until you do what you're supposed to do, is not preaching in the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So I will say today what I believe Jesus would say and tell you first, that quite apart from whether you have learned to tithe or not, God fully accepts you, beautifully loves you, powerfully sets you free by sheer, amazing, forgiving grace. And if you believe this, and you're ready to make something of it, then Scripture shows us how a human being lives in response to that love. Part of that response, according to the Word of God, is that we will return a tenth, a tithe. We will do it from love. We will do it wanting only to grow in love as we do so, because love will lead you to do it. You will even aspire to offer more than a tenth. You'll stretch it and grow it in time for love's sake. Because love doesn't want to do just what is required. Love wants to do what is wonderful. And now a pastoral word. For some of you, this sermon has been hard. Because you really don't want to tithe, and I'm not sure what else I can say to you. But there are others of you, I think, for whom this sermon has been hard, because you really do want to tithe. But as happens very often in this culture, you have already entered into circumstances that for now and for the immediate future make it impossible for you to return a tithe. If that is your situation, please hear this word of grace, that God is wanting now only to receive from your heart and life the best you can do now. God always accepts with great blessing what God's children can do at their best now. Next week is our Commitment Sunday. The invitation of the Growing in Generosity campaign is to prayerfully consider what your next step in generosity can be. If you're currently giving 2% of your income, for example, it's probably not realistic for you to move up to 10% immediately. But can you take a step in the direction of the tithe? Can you move to 3%? If you're at 4%, can you move to 5%? Can you grow in your generosity by taking the next step, whatever that next step is for you? I really do believe generosity is directly linked to our journey of discipleship. How we use our resources is primarily a spiritual issue, not just a financial one. The quality of that decision is determined by the spiritual condition of the heart. I hope you will discover the joy of deepening your relationship with God as you take the next step in your faith journey and grow in generosity.